Hi, I'm Britton LaRue, and this is Moon to Moon. Moon to Moon is a space to consider, celebrate, and share the ways we come home to ourselves, anchor through change, and uncover our power. 1 month, one phase, one loving step at a time. Hi everyone. I'm recording this episode on the morning of the full moon in Aquarius, the first of two. The sun moved into Leo yesterday evening. I'm a day behind in getting this out, and that's okay. I'm up in Minnesota right now. I'm here a short time relative to how long I like to be up here. My mom is from Minnesota, and her parents were born in Minnesota, and their parents all came from Sweden. And lake culture in Sweden and like cabin culture in Sweden is really strong, and likewise, cabin culture and lake culture are really strong up here with the descendants. And so my grandfather got this land and built this little cabin for his family of four in 1962. And I grew up spending all my summers up here. We'd jump in the Suburban and come up here for the summer. And I try to come at least a week, ideally up to 4 weeks, with my own daughters, but every year is a little different with work and responsibilities. And this summer it's quite condensed. We're actually hoping maybe we can pop up here in the fall instead and enjoy the changing foliage, see everything from a different perspective. Because right now I don't really have the spaciousness with my move. If you have been listening to this a while, you know that I'm moving. I'm renovating a house that I got a really good deal on, and it hasn't been renovated in a really long time. So I'm doing work down there, and it's important that I'm there to take care of my house, my new house. But it's a delight to be able to record this here. You may hear birds, you may hear wind and trees occasionally, because I'm semi-outside right now. Okay, so this episode is the Leo season episode. I'm going to share with you some Leo teachings. I'm also going to talk with you about where we are astrologically here at the beginning of Leo and give you an outlook of what feels to me like a lot of the invitations that we're in. For me, I pull from my personal life and I pull from what I'm hearing from people in my community for that. I want to give you things to think about. I want to give you things to feel into. I want to inspire your tarot spreads. I want to help you if the way that I talk about this stuff helps you, which is why I presume you tune in. As I do, I will speak to the astrology of Leo season in terms of overall big highlights, because I give the breakdown of the astrology in a weekly way on Mondays in my Patreon community. And I'll put that link in the show notes if you want to join. For $6 a month, you get these weekly write-ups. And I also give you audio horoscopes of the new moons. So before I jump in then to the teachings and to the astrology, I do want to give some updates from my sphere, my work sphere. So I am now complete with Soft Strength. That's a 4-week class that I teach every summer across Cancer season. We work with the teachings of the moon and with Cancer, which brings us into a lot of teachings around inner child healing, intuition, and embodying this idea of softness, feeling okay with softness as an embodied approach to what life gives us. And the beginning of that is really just listening, just developing skill set around listening to our bodies. The moon is related to the body, the feeling body, the intuitive body. The body has a lot of information, and if you're like me, you weren't taught to listen to the body. You were taught to privilege your brain, your analytical brain. And so when we are operating, when I operate only from my analytical brain, I go into hustle, I go into freak out, I go into overdrive, I go into the distortion that like I could control everything, or that I could like think it all through and that will just be perfect. And so only operating from the analytical brain can bring a lot of depletion and burnout and the sense of like never being enough for what the front brain thinks we need to be. So Soft Strength as a class is really an initiation, because like you don't learn how to live softly in 4 weeks. It's a practice that is ongoing, and this is why many people like to take it again after they've had it the first time, because it's like checking back in with a set of practices and teachings that you weave into your embodied experience. So that was a really beautiful window of time. I am most happy when I'm teaching or promoting. Promoting is really fun too. When I'm not teaching a class or promoting a class, I tend to feel a little wobbly because I love teaching so much, and I love convincing people to come learn with me. And so I'm very happy to say that there's not much break between teaching and promoting in my life, because I've now come to a point in my journey as an astrologer, teacher, businesswoman, that I've got a series of classes that pretty much flow one into the next, sometimes even overlapping. And I feel like these core classes are my service. I can come up with new classes, of course. I can have like short webinars, one-offs. But these three classes are like my passions and my service. Because that's really how I see it, as my service. So Soft Strength being really my first core class. And then the one that's coming up next, Charting Your Course, being my really longer term class, to learn to walk with the planets and learn astrology in a heart-based intuitive way, which I'll talk more about in a sec. So that's previously was a 1-year commitment, and I'm condensing it to be more intensive as a 7-month commitment. And then the Magician's Table is that super intimate group experience of emerging, of self-naming, of accumulating one's tools, feeling confident in knowing one's tools and practicing one's tools in community, which was for only 12 people this year and probably will continue to only be for 12 people because it's incredible when you can have such intimacy. And that will be in the spring into summer. So I'm looking at that now as like, wow, I've built that. I've created this wheel, I guess you could say. It's like a wheel of teachings that I can shift and grow and amend and edit or even throw things away as it feels right. And I'm very honored that these wanted to live through me. That's how I see it, is that they came to me for me to facilitate. So let me tell you a little bit about charting your course, which I'll be talking a lot about over the coming months. And I guess like 5 to 6 weeks before we begin, we're going to begin on September 1. So charting your course, the subtitle is a wayfinding journey to access the navigational tools of your birth chart. And the idea with charting is, of course, a play on the birth chart, as well as charting as in like mapping. And then charting your course is a play on it being a course, and course being your path, your way, which we're walking, you know. In this idea of the birth chart then as a map, as a compass that we know in our bodies and carry in our hearts to help us know our way, right? Like knowing your way, I mean, that's kind of, to me, I know I'm an Aries rising here, but I feel like feeling confident that you can know your way is like one of the most powerful things to feel, you know, right? Like we often turn to astrology like, oh my God, tell me what to do. Or like, what's the next step? What's coming? You know, tell me the answers, you know? And what I'm really into is empowering people to trust that they can know their way with their chart. That doesn't mean you don't go to astrologers ever again. That doesn't mean you don't seek guidance from others. I absolutely love having readings with other astrologers. There's no way I could ever see anything my chart can offer. There's just no way. But it's about intimacy and relationship with your chart, which you build by growing intimacy and relationship with the energies of astrology, which are the planets, which are the signs, and which is understanding the domains of the houses. It's not easy to learn astrology. It is a vast world. It's many realms. It's impossible to know everything about astrology, which is one of my favorite things because it relaxes me in knowing that I don't have to get anywhere where suddenly I know it all. You know, I'm just always in process of learning more. And I'm able to share with people what I've learned and help them cultivate their own inner gnosis, personal gnosis. And it's G-N-O-S-I-S, or maybe it's double S-I-S. Personal gnosis being wisdom. And that means that my approach to astrology really centers an intuitive, even mystical approach to your chart and to the language and to the tool set. And so my approach is not for everyone, and that's cool. That's okay. My approach is for you if you feel overwhelmed analytically by the heady approaches to astrology you often find. Just like, I can never understand this all. I can't keep it straight. Or, you know, how do you memorize it? Like an intuitive approach is about a felt knowing. And you can't be spoon-fed that. You know, You can't passively receive that. You do receive it, but not because like I gave you information and you just like stored it in your analytical folders, you know. An intuitive felt understanding of astrology built on relationship and intimacy with the planets that you grow with your personal gnosis, which is what we do in Charting Your Course, is like you really energetically have to go there and give yourself the time and space to be with the planets and to listen. And I'm your guide in that, but I don't tell you what to think. I'm not going to tell you like what your chart quote unquote means, because the magic is in your own realizations around these things. I can guide you to the place where you have those aha moments, because I'm not interested in depriving you of your magical gnosis. I'm interested in showing you how to receive it. So it's a pretty intensive experience then, because you really have to show up for it. I'll speak more about the logistics later. The course page isn't finalized. So all you can do for now is, if you're like listening, curious about this, I'll include the link to the wait list, which all that means is that you want to be sure that you have information, like when things are posted, you find out about them, when the doors open for early bird. And the early bird bonus is going to be an extra extra meetup a month with me and my co-teacher this time, Jonathan Coe, who most of you listening know. Jonathan Coe is the creator of the music of Moon to Moon. Jonathan Coe is a queer mystic who lives in Brooklyn, who is an incredible astrologer and healer and overall human being. And Jonathan Coe and I collaborate in 2021 on all three now of my core classes. I relaxed with when I work with Jonathan, and in my ability to relax and trust, my personal genius comes through better, you know. And I say personal genius in the idea that we all have a personal genius, like we all have a zone of genius, and it's skillful to surround yourself with a team, with friends, with other beings that help you feel confident and trusting inside of that zone, right? So Jonathan's presence is going to add so much to the experience. Jonathan actually took Charting Your Course last year, my first year of teaching it. So Jonathan's very aware of the teachings and the rhythm and the structure, and thus also knows how to emphasize what worked really well and to add things that would have been helpful. Just overall, Jonathan is really the co-leader on this and co-creator of 2.0 version. So we'll begin September 1. If you want to know more, please sign up for the wait list. At a minimum, just be on my newsletter. Most of you already are, or in my Patreon group. And we'll go to middle of March at this point is what it's looking like, with some breaks to have some spaciousness to process between modules. There's going to be like learning modules, a total of 5 this time. And we'll have the first 2 back to back, and then there'll be breaks between the others to kind of just integrate. So it looks like it's going to be September 1 to March, mid-March. And in that time, you will learn how to walk with the planets in a heart-based way that will help you at every level of your human experience, from the very logistical minutiae of your life to the most mystical, to the most spiritual, to the emotional, and to the embodied. So I hope you'll come and join me. At this point, there's no limit on the number of people that can join, but we are going to have applications so that you can name your desire to be there, because that's an important part, I think, of the magical contract. So that's my big update. Charting Your Course 2.0 coming up. It's a big deal. It's really exciting. It's my privilege and my joy. All right. So, on the other side of this interlude, I give you the Leo teachings. Let's talk about Leo and this Leo season. Leo is the fifth sign in astrology. It's the middle sign of the summer season. So, speaking, of course, in terms of the Northern Hemisphere. So, when I'm thinking about Leo, I remember that this is the first of the second round of the elements. So we began with fire, with Aries, then we move through each of the elements. Taurus is earth, Gemini is air, Cancer is water, and with Leo, then we come back to fire. We come back to fire. It's a fire sign. So fire signs connect us to our energy, you know, our passions. Fire connects us to what rises inside of us. Fire rises up. It's like we feel excited about something. We feel charged energetically. Maybe we feel angry. It's like fire is not analytical. Fire just happens often quickly. Fire is, it burns, you know, it burns things. It burns fear. It burns away overthinking. That's going to be a very, very helpful part of working with our fire, is like asking it to consume our fear so that we can show up for what we have energy for what we have passion for like what gets us going, you know. And fire's our passions. It's the energy that rises up out of us and sparkles through our eyes. You know, people feel it. When someone's lacking fire, you can tell, like they are lethargic, like their eyes are dull. When you feel like you can't get up and you don't know what you want to do, like you don't know what you want, where you want to put your energy, it's like fire is slow, you know? So then we can be like way fire when people are just so charged, like they're talking really fast and like their eyes are so lit up and their energy is just so big. Like, oh my God, you know, and it's like sometimes they can just fill a room with their huge energy and it's like, oh my gosh, calm down. Or like, oh my gosh, that person is just too much. You know, that feeling of when someone's fire is like really burning. In maybe a way that feels chaotic or in a way that feels out of control. And you may identify with all of this, of course, in yourself, right? We tend our fire. We take care of our fire. We notice our fire because our fire won't necessarily notice itself. It's sort of like a part of us has to get outside of it and like see where we are and ask ourselves like what our fire needs from us today, you know? So tuning in with your fire is really helpful in terms of where to put the energy, you know? So Leo is, because it's the middle sign of the season, it's what we call fixed. So it's fixed fire. So it's like, what is a fixed fire that you can think about? Well, one thing that we can think about is like bonfire energy, you know? It's still and it's there. And then people gather around it, you know? People gather around the fire. They enjoy this fire. It's bringing people together. It's warming them. It's inspiring them. And it's dazzling them. And in a way, that's part of what Leo is like where we are our own bonfire of our life. So you can feel into that, like visualizing yourself as a bonfire and being that light around which people come and warm themselves. What do you want to give them? You know, we talk a lot about Leo being like self-centered, the center fire, right? But it's also like, it's also a very generous energy. It gives. And what's it giving? It's giving warmth. It's giving warmth. It's giving people a place to receive something that's really nice. Bonfire, you know? And at bonfires, people sometimes sing. You know, at bonfires, people sometimes go into storytelling. They may even act stories out at a bonfire, you know? And Leo energy inspires us to tell stories, to act, to play, to perform, to go into this like space where we're creating from that animated spirit inside of us that is our fire. And letting other people enjoy what we do there, letting ourselves be seen, letting ourselves be witnessed in that creativity, that act of performance. And it's generous because it's like, I'm giving this to you. I'm like delighting you right now. Are you feeling how I'm delighting you right now? I'm loving delighting you and you're loving being delighted. And isn't this energy between us amazing? So what else works for that, you know, analogy? Like what's the visual analogy? The sun. The sun is the center fire of the solar system. The sun is the center. It gives life. Like we're all alive because of the sun. The sun is that force. It's this ball of energy, of fire energy. And it's warming us perfectly at the distance that Earth is from the sun, such that we have these seasons and we have these growth phases and we're not too hot, although sometimes in Texas we may feel like we are. And, you know, we're not too cold, even though maybe up here in Minnesota sometimes people feel too cold. But in general, it's perfect. It's like the best thing ever, the sun, right? So the sun's amazing. And we're so, so grateful for this sun. When you look up at the sky right now, you're looking at Leo because that's where the sun is. The sun is in Leo and the sun is so happy because in the language of astrology, we say that the sun rules Leo. That means the sun is the guardian of Leo. That means the sun cares about what goes on in Leo. That means that the sun imparts its qualities on what that sign is. So no matter where you have your sun in your chart, the space where you have Leo is what your sun cares about. You can like get your head around that. Unless you're a Leo. And if you are, happy birthday. Unless you're a Leo, your sun has these two domains in your chart, you know, where your sun is, that sign, and where your Leo is. So, you know, building intimacy with your chart, we're thinking about where you're going to be expressing your creative authority, where you want to express that center fire, where you want to feel your vitality, where you recuperate your luminosity, where you will share generously as the sun does. That's where you have Leo, you know? So that domain of Leo is really important in your chart because it's connected to your very vitality. And any planets there are going to also give you information or points there about the nature of that expression and like journeys around expressing your Leo most skillfully. So in my chart, I have Saturn there, which is not where Saturn wants to be, because Saturn wants to be opposite it in Aquarius, where Saturn currently is here in 2021. And so Saturn is, well, I'll get into this later, so I don't really want to overspeak it, but like I have a very unique relationship with Leo because I have Saturn there, and Saturn's really awkward in Leo, and it makes thus my connection to Leo kind of awkward, kind of constricted, you could say, as a Saturn word. So Leo is one of those sign energies that I do a lot of healing with because I want more flow. I want to feel safe being seen. I want to feel safe creating and like giving to you. I'm giving to you, listener, as I'm like in my fire talking about astrology, and it makes my heart happy. And I'm just going to give it to you. And then hopefully you receive it and you're like, oh, that feels so like bright and it feels beautiful to receive this. I'm going to let that sun of this voice that's in her passion shine on my face. Sun on my face. That's Leo, right? Like sun on my face. It feels good. I'm doing it for no other reason. I'm doing it because it feels so good to do it. It makes me happy. That's Leo. That's Leo. Because it feels so good to do it and it makes me happy. I'm going to give you something that feels so good and makes you happy. And then ideally, like you're sending back this kind of like energy of gratitude or energy of like glowing in reflection, and then there's this like back and forth of like vitality, like life energy. Leo. So it's really important, you know. All the signs are important, and I have a love affair with everyone, but Leo is just really important in terms of thinking about this word vitality. Because I think that, you know, if you're honest with yourself, like if we're all honest, what do we want to feel in this life? I think a strong contender would be we want to feel in vitality. And the reason that I subtitle my workbooks Astrology for Radiant Embodiment is I also think that Leo is radiant embodiment. Radiant embodiment. You could also say radiant contentment, you know, glow, luminosity. This is what we want, you know, because that's so beautiful. And I do think we all want beauty, you know, not what culture says beauty is, but like the beauty of vitality. And we can all have it. It's all there. It's about being able to receive what would feel really good and give what would feel really good to others and be in that exchange. And thus we have to trust in abundance. We have to trust in abundance for Leo. This is difficult. We are conditioned on scarcity. It's not your fault. Your scarcity is not your fault. You know, we're just conditioned this way. It's around us. You know, we pick up on other people's scarcity, and then now we feel scarcity in our own bodies. It's in our bodies, right? And so Leo heals scarcity because Leo is about abundance. This is the time of the first harvests. And in many cultures, you can imagine pre-industrial times, with the first harvest, like it's kind of a big deal. You have to have a celebration with this. It can't just be like, oh, we're just going to do it and like not honor it. Like, no, it has to be celebrated. There has to be like a container of ceremony for this. It's a big deal. We're hungry. And like, imagining, okay, containers for celebration. That in itself is super Leo. And then, so what do people do? Like process through the village, process through the town, carrying the harvest in their arms and like passing it around and showing it off like golden wheat. Like, check this out, everybody. And that this energy of procession and abundance and gold and showing off what we're all going to get to enjoy now and like sharing it, like that's Leo. That's Leo too. This generosity is at the heart of it. And the heart then is another key word, the heart. The sun is the heart of the solar system. The sun rules the heart and the circulatory system. No, Leo does in the body. Leo rules the heart and the circulatory system. So you think about what the heart does and all the different ways we can feel into heart energy, both just the physiology of it, but also the energy of it. You know, the energy of touching base with your heart, opening your heart, bringing down the walls around your heart, taking leaps from the heart, feeling uplift from the heart, connecting from the heart. For many of us, this is healing stuff, you know? This is healing stuff, this heart work. And it radiates as its consequence. It heals others. Just as the heart pumps life-giving blood through the circulatory system, so the energy of our open hearts, our loving hearts, our generous hearts, our trusting hearts, our hearts and vitality pumps outward, and people feel it, and it has consequences in the world. So it's not selfish. It's actually service. Because ultimately, the king queen that is the archetype of Leo, it's about serving. You know, it's leadership through service and service as leadership. And like, what are you called to bring in service to the world? All of us, each of us being a king queen, you know? And we tap into the heart to know what the nature of that service feels like to us, like what it needs to be. And your heart just has such clear information. Is it lifting or not? You know, is it expanding or not? So it's always a special time to be in Leo, but it's, you know, Leo's nonverbal because it's fire, right? So it's not intellectual, the answers to these things, the knowings. It's through listening to our heart. And so it's often a time where maybe you don't feel as connected to, say, your journal. I always feel like, oh my God, but I'm not journaling as much right now. You know, like, it's out of control. But it's like, because I'm too busy having a good time. You know, I'm like living my life, playing, waking up and getting going. And here at the cabin, at least, with my pride, my gals, my fam. And the Saturn and Leo in me, the intellectual in me, it'll also be like, I'm not writing this down though. Like, I gotta get control of like how this is. Like, this feels really out of control. I'm like just having fun. So cute. It's like recentering to the importance of play and the importance of just living and laughing and singing and just swimming and all the life stuff that feels really chaotic to some of us. And so I think about then like the strength card in the tarot, which has many wonderful variations. But if you think about the Smith Rider-Waite version of a kind of a female-looking person with an infinity symbol over her head coming into nuzzle, or maybe she's leaving. It's hard to tell which direction her hands are moving, but she's nuzzling this lion whose tail is between his legs, who seems like he's about to drool with contentment at being taken care of and comforted or just given pleasure by this woman. And so it's like an interesting depiction, right, of strength, because it's not like a gladiator figure or some like typical version of strength. It's really about generosity and caring and connecting in a heart-based way, and doing it sometimes with something that we fear, which is our primal nature, the lion, the beast. Something I say in my Leo workbook is strength is meeting yourself at your own chaos, or something like that. I said, kind of had an intuitive hit on that one. I feel really, really grateful for that. And to me, you know, a lot of working with our Leo is like conquering fear of the chaos of creativity, the chaos of play, the chaos of joy, the chaos of orgasm, the chaos of like making babies, you know, thinking about how Leo has to do with children and fertility, and just there are parts of the human experience that are not for our heads to figure out. It's really hard for my ego to accept this and really scary for my Capricorn moon. But, you know, in orgasm, that when I gave birth to my children, when I lead, you know, a ceremonial group, and I'm like the leader, the bonfire, right? I'm the bonfire at the center, and I don't even know what I'm going to say. Like, I didn't plan it, because I know that when I lead this, it needs to be in the chaos of my creativity. And there is no thinking ahead of time about that. It's in the moment, it's in present time that the words are generated. I know this and I trust it. And so, you know, before I go into a space where I'm going to be a guide in such a way or make a recording, you know, anytime I'm giving readings for people too, I just have to drop into that full strength card of like trusting in the chaos of like, I can't pre-plan this. This is not the academic lecture hall where I've got my clean notes and I have a PowerPoint that I've already prepared. You know, this is like chaos built of trust, you know, and the reason it's so amazing, at least it feels amazing from my end, is because I feel it, anyone experiencing feels it, like we are in creativity right here. And this is happening in present time and nowhere else. And that's super cool, you know? So part of Leo is like very much about engaging with the chaos of present time, which is not easy, you know, if you're a planner type. And you like want to know, you know, you want to feel safe knowing what it's going to be, and just not having to accept that you can only prepare so much when you actually want to create in present time. And that's actually the only place you can create. You can't create in the future or in the past. You can only create here. I know it's like it's kind of self-evident, but it's important to remember that. So when we begin this Leo seasons, can you feel me? I'm kind of shifting into 2021 now. When we begin this Leo season, we are governed by a lunar cycle that began in Cancer. this is how I work with rhythm, and this is like completely optional. You can listen to this and be like, I choose not to do that. And that's totally cool. I'm sharing how I play with the rhythm of time. And for me, the lunar cycle is always a very strong factor in like what's governing things. So Cancer is still really strong for me, right, for us, until we get to the new moon in Leo on August 8th. Because we're living inside what was initiated at the new moon in Cancer 2 weeks ago from the moment that I'm recording this, because now it's the full moon. So we're in the middle of this lunar cycle. So what we're doing here is we're moving from moon rulership. Cancer is ruled by the moon. You can learn all kinds of things about Cancer from my last seasonal episode. And then we're shifting into sun rulership. And so between now and the new moon in Leo, we're doing what I called in my episode last year, bathing in the space between Cancer and Leo. And this is really important because it's about understanding our lunar and our solar selves, which are arguably the most like important quote unquote parts of ourselves per astrology, because the moon is the closest celestial body to us and the sun is so vital to human life. And we see them both, you know, like they're so big compared to the other planetary bodies that we don't always see, or we only see them at certain times of day, or we just don't have as much access to their light, you know. But we do with the sun and moon are very central to human life. So what we're doing right now is like we're kind of in this window of like understanding everything that we've been learning about our Cancerian self, our moon self. This is the emotional body, the subconscious body, the instinctual, intuitive body. It's also daily rhythms. It's the past and caring for what we carry through our lineage, what we carry through our child selves, our past life selves. And then the sun being, as I said, connected to very much to the present moment, to more like your unique divine spark in this lifetime. Both of these parts of who we are connected to the child in us, in the sense that our Leo self is very connected to that playful, happy, divine, bright, luminous child that wants to play and that loves life. Whereas the Cancerian part of ourselves has more connection to a part of us, ourselves, that may have be like stuck to places where we felt really sensitive and where we may have tenderness. And so to me, it's a really important bridge. It's really supportive to our Leo to be with our Cancer self, like to be with all the feelings, to talk to our inner child who is scared or nervous. I've been doing that so much with it's really scary for me not having a house right now for my child. My inner child is quite wobbly and is not totally sure that I've got this under control. And regularly I realize like I'm completely merging with my scared inner child, and I start thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, I can't do this. But that's not really me. It's my inner child that's like, I just don't know if I trust you with this project. And that's when I remember that I can be my adult who comes in and is like, no, look at all the evidence that I'm taking care of this. Look at all the evidence that it's proceeding as planned. And maybe you were resonating with this for however that works in your own life. But, you know, what we're working on when we're moving from Cancer to Leo then is how to release fear or trauma or constriction or tenderness that can keep our Leonine child from fully playing and fully creating and fully enjoying the present moment, you know? So that it's really important to me. And that's what we're in. So some wisdom that came through in a dream that I want to share with you. I heard that I need to talk about walls, boundaries, and separations. So wrote that in my journal immediately upon waking. And so I'm going to do that. Because I think that walls, boundaries, separations, I think we can tease out here some helpful wisdom that could really speak to not only the liminal space, the bridge space, the healing zone between Cancer and Leo, but also speak to this particular Leo season and how the sun is going to be in this whole time an opposition by sign with Saturn in Aquarius, and that the sun in Leo and Saturn in Aquarius have really different goals, you know, and Saturn is stressful to the sun. It's like their goals are very different. What they want to do is really different. It's not that they can't work together, and it's not that it can't be awesome, and it's not that it can't be the most incredible growth ever. But it can be stressful. So I also think, given that Saturn rules walls and borders, I think that speaking to walls, boundaries, and separation can provide for us kind of like an imaginal space, like a way of teasing out some of the energetics of this time. Feels so good to be doing this, you guys. It's really important to be with your gifts, you know? So, walls. Feel into, I invite you now, let's pretend like we're in a speaking space together where we can share ideas. I'm inviting you now to feel into, what is the difference between walls, boundaries, and separations? And feel into, why do we need walls versus why do we need boundaries versus why do we need separations? So what came through for me about this, and feel free to have your own gnosis and disagree, but what feels to me true is that we create walls. I feel like walls are something that I create, that we create, more as a defense strategy based on the evidence that we can get hurt. You know, walls are for security. It's a security system for the heart. And for me, walls tend to be more in the unskillful range of behavior, because I create walls to protect myself from getting hurt. You know, I protect myself from rejection, abandonment, not being understood. I create walls because people may not like me. I create walls because it's easier to just do my own thing. My walls can be a hiding place, and in the hiding place, I feel safe. But I'm never completely happy because I crave connection. I crave the connection that those walls prevent me from having. I've created walls because I don't trust myself to have good boundaries. So better to just not have connection where I could mess that up. I create walls so that you won't really see me and have a chance to say that you don't like what you see. I create walls because the truth is I don't understand how to be comprehensible, and you probably will not understand what you see, and that will feel really sad. So you can think into the ways that you might create walls, right? And think about how your heart's involved in those processes. What kind of relationship do you have with your heart in order to have walls? What kind of temperature do you have in order to have walls? Can't be super warm, right? What kind of eye contact do you have in order to have your walls? You know, what kind of belief systems do you need to have about other people in order to justify the necessity of your walls? You know, like, judgment is about creating walls. We judge to keep people away from us. We presume to not have to build connection, you know, not have to build understanding through the heart. It's a form of defense, judgment. And so we hide. But that's never really a great strategy. Linda Sussman says in The Speech of the Grail, what you don't love about yourself will become hostile to you. And what I found is that in our hiding places, that what we don't love about ourselves can grow and become very distorted because we're not letting in the connection of other people who love us to hold up a mirror and remind us that how lovable we really are, you know? So love is central to this idea of walls and why we have them, a relationship to love. And love is a very strong keyword for Leo and Cancer, both. So boundaries for me, you know, boundaries are a practice, not just a thing, I think. Boundaries have to do with protecting but really about honoring ourselves, honoring our yes and our no. It's not about, boundaries are not about killing connection. But if you're taught to not have boundaries and you're conditioned to not have boundaries, your brain may think that boundaries kill connection. But boundaries also actually make better connection and stronger connection because you're not merging and you're not enmeshed and you're not codependent. And you're able to stay in your own sovereignty even as you have love and compassion for the other person. So to me, boundaries are a discipline and a practice of honoring your yes and your no, and honoring your energy sovereignty, and honoring your own power, like honoring your empowerment, honoring your own agency, even as you are growing connectivity, love, joy in your relationships and in your connections. And it is knowing that you're safe inside of those boundaries that you can drop deeper into those connections. But this is a lot of reprogramming for so many of us, for sure me. You may be hearing the local garbage man picking up on our little wild road that leads to this cabin. And so then separations, to me feel different in the sense of, really sorry about that noise. Separations feel like what we have to do sometimes in order to honor ourselves, in order to honor that sovereignty. When we're dealing with a relationship where that very sovereignty, that power of ours is not being respected, and when a relationship is preventing you from growing, from loving yourself, from feeling fully empowered and feeling full agency. Sometimes we have to have separations that can be with other people, but we also can have separations from behaviors, like when we decide to quit something, you know, when we decide we can't drink anymore, or if you decide you can't live with someone anymore. When you decide you can't do that job anymore, you know, separating is a stronger kind of boundary, but it's different from a wall to me, because it has agency. It's like built of a verb, separating. And it comes from a conscious, deliberate, aligned action where you know that this is something that you need to do in order to be inside of your Cancer Leo, you know, in order for you to be in vitality. So I feel like this is a big theme this year. You know, I created that episode, The Emergent No, in the spring. This idea of walls, boundaries, and separations feels kind of like another chapter in the story of like 2021 being a year of really inviting us into, I'm sorry how loud this is, I'm not going to have the energy to edit this out, but he's really close now and then he'll pass. I feel like 2021 is a year of really asking us to take some serious responsibility for our walls, boundaries, and separations. And what's hard about it is like you kind of want someone to tell you what to do, but you really have to come to all your own knowings. Trusting in your own intuition and your own personal gnosis and trusting in your aligned actions can sometimes feel inherently lonely. I'm just going to say that, name it. It can feel inherently lonely because you're doing it only for yourself and not with anyone else, because only you can do it, you know? But it's ultimately about your empowerment, because when you trust that you're the one that knows, incredible things can happen for you. This is what I found. All right. So let's think then about, and just to reiterate, I feel like that thematic is really appropriate for the sun being opposite Saturn all of Leo season, at least by sign. The peaking of that energy I'll talk about in a minute, but because Saturn is about here, I'm gonna pause. Okay, you guys, how's this? Now I'm down by the water. So let's just talk about the key highlights of this astrology. Again, you can get more details by joining my Patreon at the $6 level to get the weekly write-ups. There's higher tiers too. You get more. Check that out. I'd love to have you. So the first key highlight of three I would share with you is that there's two full moons in Aquarius. It just works out this way because there's 30 degrees in per sign, but there's 28 degrees that the moon passes per lunar cycle. So now and then there'll be like two new moons or two full moons within a sign season. And so on the day I'm recording this, the second day of Leo season, we have our first full moon in Aquarius at the 1 degree, the first degree of Aquarius. And then later this month, at the 22nd of August, we have the second full moon in Aquarius at the 29 degree of Aquarius. And so I think that this is significant and really cool because we have this opportunity to really sit with the Leo Aquarius part of our charts and the part of our psyches and the part of our external life, which is a really important zone generally in 2021. Because as you know, Saturn is in Aquarius. Saturn's in Aquarius from December 2020 to March 2023. And wherever Saturn is where like the big work in our life is. So your Aquarius house, the domain of your Aquarius, is super activated right now. And you have the moon there, full moon today, and then again on the 22nd, teaching you things about this zone of your life. And you can listen twice and look for patterns of growth. So with this full moon, like whatever's showing up for you is the information. You don't have to look very hard for it. What is the zone of information for you between the part of you that is Leo, Sun, and the part of you that is like that Saturn visionary hard worker? And these two have to face off. Leo always has to face Aquarius. They're polar signs. Aquarius is air. Aquarius works hard. Aquarius is like thinking about the bigger picture, thinking about broad humanity and connectivity. Where Leo is always fixed fire, your fixed fire, you as the king queen. And so you're always negotiating the part of you that plays and the part of you that works your ass off. So this is not like a never felt it before polarity, but you're getting a lot of information all year here. And here at these full moons, you have the opportunity to really be with, like, what does it mean to be in my full creative vitality and also, like, a visionary server to the world? How am I both Leo and Aquarius? How can they walk together? And this means getting Sun to walk with Saturn, and that's not always easy because they're just really different. They have very different goals. So the Sun feels like Saturn's super constricting, you know, and super like bossy and authoritarian. And Saturn feels like the Sun needs to take things more seriously. It's like that Cat Stevens song, Father and Son. It's one of my favorite songs since seventh grade. You can look that one up if you don't know it. And so my offering to you is to consider a 1-2 pattern. Whatever's showing up here at the first full moon, like look for an echo of it at around the 22nd, but for it to be different then. Like what have you learned in a month? And how does this fit into the larger context of 2021 with the Aquarius and the Leo zones of your life? Taurus will still be really involved in this story. because we have Uranus squaring the Sun and squaring Saturn as it's doing all year. So more on that in a second. So the second aspect of this astrology that I want to talk to you about is the zone around July 31 to August 2nd, just being a very activated time. You hear that? Loon gift to you. We got loons here. It's amazing. They're amazing. So July 31 period, we're going to have Moon in Taurus in the Uranus zone, T-squaring, making squares to Sun, Mercury in Leo, and Saturn in Aquarius. Then Jupiter will also then be in Aquarius by then. And I just expect that to be a time of a lot of like sudden information collectively and personally. And a lot of it may feel tense. Just be prepared. It's all part of the larger story that you're living between the Aquarius and the Taurus zones of your chart. I'll provide a lot more guidance on this in my weekly write-ups. Then on August 1st, the next day, we have the Sun and Mercury conjunction where they come together in the sky. This is the midpoint in the Mercury cycle that began when Mercury was retrograde in Gemini. And it's always a day of like information being illuminated, because that's Mercury information illuminated by the Sun. So in this window of time, we can't see all around this. We can't see Mercury because it's in the beam, so to speak, of the Sun. So like that point where they come together can offer insight where we've been waiting for it. And then on the next day, August 2nd, now then we have Sun opposite Saturn, exactly. And so that's that sense of Sun working with Saturn, reaching its peak. It will peak out August 2nd, but it's really with us the entire Leo season because they're opposite by sign. And this will recall, for those of you tracking patterns, this will recall information that you were receiving in the first week and the second week of July, when first Mars was opposite Saturn and square Uranus, and then Venus was opposite Saturn and square Uranus. So now it's going to be the Sun and Mercury. And I felt into like, what does that feel like? And I wrote, ah, shit. Because it's just like, ah, shit, there it is, evolved in a different way now. Because those were really rough weeks for people, that first week of July in particular. So it doesn't have to mean it's going to be hard, because Sun is much, much more gentle than Mars. Much more gentle. Mars has been out front kind of like giving us the hard news first. The hard vibes. And this is more to me will be like illuminating a truth of maybe what just was a hard feeling, you know? Is it Mars is not verbal. Mars just, we just feel Mars, you know? The Sun and Mercury together may be illuminating information, illuminating truth, illuminating whatever we need to see there. Hopefully we will find that helpful. And finally, the third piece of astrology to share would be that we have our new moon in Leo at 16 degrees. The Sun and moon come together in Leo at 16 degrees on August 8th, which is 8-8, also known to mystical folks as the Lion's Gate. This is connected to the rising of the star Sirius, which many consider to be like the spiritual sun in the sky, like the sun of the sun. And just back to the ancient Egyptians, Sirius has been considered really potent energy of love and heart, that if you choose to play with this and you want to experience if this feels true, then around the new moon then on August 8th, you could potentially create a meditation, a trance portal for yourself to feel into receiving more like light energy, heart energy, love energy to infuse your new moon intentions, your new moon listening. What I'm feeling for you is this idea of like, what do you really want? And in spite of everything, say it. Say it. Say what you really want. In spite of everything, say it. And then what I wrote is, I still want love. That may be just personal, but maybe it's for you too. In spite of everything here, I still want love. I'm wishing you all the best this Leo season. If you have the Leo workbook, I hope you are playing with it and having fun with it and enjoying it. That Leo book designed by my Leo queen, dear friend and collaborator workbook designer, Angela George. Happy birthday to Angela George, new mama, if you're listening. I love you. Thank you for teaching me about Leo. You are such a radiant Leo. There are several sections of that workbook that Angela designed herself in love for her sign, inviting you to play. If you want the Leo workbook, I'll put a link in the bio for that. Again, please check out Charting Your Course when it becomes available to read about. To know when it becomes available to read about, just sign up for the wait list and be on my newsletter. And if you like these episodes, I hope that you have already written a review. Thank you if you have. They're so beautiful. I love my reviews. If you haven't written a review or graded the podcast, please, please do so. It's how we create beautiful Leonine reciprocity of exchange, reciprocity and generosity in a heart-based way. Sending my love. Cheers.